Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Welcome to the show. It's brought to you along with Levi Solicitors. 15% discount on three things, Michael, which are
conveyancing
and
wills
and
probate.
That's until the end of January 2023. So get in there quickly as we are running out of time on that particular offer. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Online booking system as well. You can do the wills appointments from the comfort of your own home as well. So check that out. Quick mention for our stuff as well. We've got a sale on at the minute, haven't we, Moscow? On
the website. Yes. We're selling mugs and small t-shirts.
When we mentioned the Pat Bamford mugs that we could not shift for love nor money.
Well, no.
A week or two back because Pat had disappeared from the public consciousness.
Yeah, people had forgotten about Pat, like Dre.
We put him on sale. He comes back and scores some goals. Boom, they're nearly all gone. It's wild, isn't it? What else do we need to shift?
Rafinha mugs. Yeah. We still got some of those
left. So
we've
got a few Rafinha, a few Calvin
mugs.
And there are things that aren't on sale, like your t-shirt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Not mine particularly.
Nice bit of embroidery on this one.
Yeah, there's a new issue as well. I don't have a copy of it. I've got a copy of the last one. So if you imagine that, but it's just Eddie Gray. That's what the new one looks like. So that's on the website as well.
Love that.
Basically, just everything you could possibly want from a square ball perspective is there. Particularly if what you want is who's on the first Leeds fighter mugs? There's Stuart Dallas, Tyler Roberts, Gianni Alioski.
Yeah,
is he on there?
All
the big heroes.
But the thing is, I think we've discovered with the Pat Bamford mugs is that there's a lot of people out there who are just drinking out of their hands in a morning. It has streamed, slurping, because they don't have any
idiot
mugs to drink from. So just because the Pat Bamford ones are flying out doesn't mean that you should neglect the other mug opportunities that are there. And
get a good box with it too.
You can walk out up a hill to a clear, fast-running stream, dip it in the water, drink from that, and it'll taste so much better than trying to build a basket of reeds.
That's good advice. If anyone gets dysentery from it.
£5 mug, squareball.net, look for the sale. Menu, it says sale.
Thanks, Moscow. That was more than comprehensive. Didn't expect that, so it could work. The squareball.net, everybody. Part one of the show is news, and Chris Armas has been just announced. This is hot off the presses. I mean, not when the show comes out, but it's hot off the presses for us, which is recording, Wednesday afternoon. So we have a new assistant manager / coach type person. He was at Scum. Boo! Under Ralphie Red Bull.
Yeah, but you don't mind that when he's successful, do you? Oh.
They hated him, didn't they? Yeah, all the players there, which kind of makes me warm to him. If that dressing room full of absolute spectacular cock faces couldn't get the head around him, then I'm willing to enjoy him.
Could he give him a shot?
Yeah, if they don't like him. The enemy of my enemy is my friend and all that.
So he was nearly here in the summer, wasn't he? Worked with Jesse before, which you might expect, in New York. Didn't do so great as a manager.
He's not only worked with Jesse. He's played with Jesse. They were together at Chicago Fire for a long time.
BFFs, would you say, Moscow?
I think they're only about 6 months apart in age. They're both disciples of the Red Bull way. Obviously, Armas has been with Rangnick before and managed. He took over New York Red Bulls when Jesse Marsh went to Europe to become assistant coach at Leipzig as part of his corporate Red Bull journey. They put Armas in charge at New York, and he ruined it.
Oh,
I don't know if he ruined it. I think the first season was quite good, but as things went on, Tyler Adams left. So he was coaching Tyler Adams with Marsh at New York, but then he also went to Europe, to Leipzig, and things just started going not as well. So then he went to Toronto. He got a head coach gig at Toronto, and he was sacked there after, I think they lost, this was last season, they lost 7-1, possibly to DC United, Click's new home, which was their sixth consecutive defeat. So they decided that wasn't working.
Yeah.
Very well. But what they concluded from that, apparently, the sort of people who were generally watching it, was that he's really, really good at the Red Bull stuff, but Toronto had like a bunch of old lags in their team who couldn't handle all the high pressing and the running about and the stuff. And he didn't seem to have taken that into account. Don't know why. Maybe he would have adapted, but everyone's like, no, he's better at just doing the Red Bull stuff. So he went to Scum eventually. So Ralf Rangnick sort of started there, decided he needed some help, called him up. All the players hated him and spent their whole time mocking him. So they both left. And then Jesse Marsh needs some help. So he's called him up. And I'm sure all the players will be fine with him, because from what I can tell, he's basically identical to Jesse Marsh every way apart from haircut.
He was born August the 27th, 1972.
Yeah, and Marsh is November 73.
Do you know where he was born?
Where?
Yep.
Which one?
Armas.
New York.
Yeah, more specifically. I'll give you a clue. Jennifer Lopez.
The Block.
Nearly.
That's going to be my guess too.
The South Bronx.
Oh, okay.
It might not be the South Bronx. It might just be the Bronx. But
He went to university in Garden State. And what was the, because you've clearly got the Wikipedia page open, what was his college football team called?
His college football team, the Long Island Rough Riders?
No. But he does have them in common with Mike Grella, I believe.
Minnesota Thunder.
Before that. I think they're called the Adelphians. Did he go to
Adelphi University.
So they'll be dragging him out of the pub on Meadow Lane, Leeds, soon, next door to the Tetley.
That's an Adelphi reference, everybody.
Yeah.
The truth shall make us free is the... is a slogan of Adelphi University.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse is right is going to be the slogan of his coaching when he arrives, because I can't imagine, he does seem to have just been brought in to sort of say the same stuff that Marsh has been saying.
So they get it in stereo.
Yeah, basically. I was reading a profile to try and find out more about him and just came to the conclusion that it's the same person, which US soccer seems to have this problem where everybody is all kind of from the same place and they're all of the same age. It's the whole Gio Reyna, Greg Berhalter controversies where everyone's married to each other and they've all been through the same programs, because it's all kind of still quite a small sport.
Use the word incestuous.
Yeah, incestuous, nepotistic, all those kind of things. So there's not a huge pool of people. I think where Mark Jackson had a bit of an advantage was he brought some, like a different voice, whereas this seems to be just kind of the same voice.
A bit Laurie McMenemy and Graham Taylor, where McMenemy sat alongside him agreeing with everything Graham Taylor said.
Phil Neal.
Oh, was that Phil Neal's job?
Neal was yes, boss. Yes, boss. You're right, boss.
Yeah, he's kind of he's a bit Blackwell to Warnock, isn't he? Like they've been together,
played together
at a number of places. They're kind of mates,
and that has benefits, because you don't want somebody to come in as your assistant and going, everything that guy's telling you is wrong. We need to start, you know, playing a completely different style. But I think when the age profile, the playing profile is identical. Like they were teammates for years and all that kind of thing. It's like, are we going to get, is it a fresh voice to reinvigorate things, or is it just another, like, the same? It's even down the line.
He is bald.
He's a nice guy as well. Like, he's really good one-to-one with the players and, like, takes all their feedback and really makes, it's like...
Do I get the sense, you're not into it?
That's fine. It's just, I read all this stuff about Jesse Marsh, and then I'm reading all...
Is he going to fix the defense?
You could have... no, because he got sacked for losing 7-1.
Shit.
Is he going to bring us more clarity in the moment?
Reading about him, it felt like I was just reading about Jesse Marsh again when before he arrived. It's like
the
same story.
Never mind the coaches. We don't care. It doesn't matter anymore, because we're totally Chelsea in our way to safety.
Oh, we do have Rennie Maric, I suppose, and Cameron Toshak is from a different background as well. He's got the experience of the Cypriot League, hasn't he?
And he's Welsh.
Mm, which is a good mix. Mm. Thomas Christensen only had half of that. Although he did... I've got nothing.
All right, let's talk about Weston McKennie. More importantly, let's talk about Weston McKennie's dad.
Mm.
Who, speaking of incestuous and nepotism.
No, we don't want to suggest, I don't think, that Weston McKennie, welcome to the club, is the product of an incestuous relationship.
His dad's stroke brother, been defending him on Twitter.
His dad's stroke uncle, it would be, surely.
Depends which way. Anyway.
That wasn't what I'm... Just talking about families sticking up for families.
Tight-knit community.
Yeah.
Weston McKennie, Juventus... Sounds like he fancies it, hanging out with his mates in Leeds, which is fair enough.
Well,
I don't blame him.
He kind of broke the Tyler Adams deal, didn't he, before it had been officially announced. I think it was McKennie who put a congratulations thing on Instagram. So, I mean, everyone knew it was happening, so it wasn't exactly breaking an exclusive, but he was there, so he's obviously mates with him.
So if we could agree a fee, then it might happen.
He doesn't want to be at a club that's tainted by a 15-point penalty.
No, absolutely.
Or indeed any form of corruption, which is why he signed for Juventus in the first place. He thought they were a clean-living bunch of choir boys, he did, but it turns out, would you believe it, they've been up to some no-good again.
Shenanigans, I'm going
to
say.
Do you think he'll be able to ship over his collection of complimentary Fiats?
Do you get Fiats? Is that what they give you?
I'd hope so. If I played for Juventus and I didn't get at least a Fiat out of the deal.
I think you'd look fun in a Fiat 500.
They're supposed to be surprisingly roomy. I do have a little model of a Fiat 500.
Is it an actual 500 or is it a Cinquecento as they rebranded them?
Well, it depends what language you read the numbers in.
That's true. Yeah. Because you had, you could do it in both, couldn't you? English or Italian. Yeah. I get the joke now. McKennie's dad, very active on Twitter, at Airborne69, which suggests some sort of, there's a helicopter as a profile picture, which means he sounds like a military man.
And a sex man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, possibly both at the same time.
Why sex man?
69.
Oh, okay. So, of course, yeah. Sorry, I was thinking of the heli. I was thinking about the helicopters. I was thinking, what's sexy about helicopters?
It's called a chopper.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And he weighs in when people say things like, there's an Arsenal fan who's saying McKennie's nowhere near close to being good enough technically for Arteta's side. He doesn't have the creative passing IQ or the positional IQ and blah, 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 blah. What are you smoking so I can get some, says John McKennie.
Yeah, it's going to go well, is this, when he has a bad game for Leeds and his dad's trying to windmill into 800 people at a time on Twitter.
I think we need to strike up some sort of online relationship with him now, because you've been stalking players' parents recently, haven't you, Michael? So,
well, not recently, for a long time.
Oh, good lad. Really putting the effort in.
Yeah, John Lukic's mum. Got all the way back to that. That's the starting point.
And we need to get him as a regular feature, maybe on this show.
The best of the tweets... Are you going to do the Joker one?
You do it.
Somebody complaining that McKennie's Joker routine is getting on the nerves of his Juventus teammates if he just wants to mess around and have fun. And Daddy McKennie comes in and says, does it look like he's joking around on the pitch? No. So shut your pie hole. Again, he goes 100 and plays through knocks you don't even know of. But we will know of. This is all like when it was Marco Silvestri's dad who was sticking up for him when his little back hurt.
The lipstick mark.
Yeah, so it's going to be... that again.
Not his dog's lipstick.
No, we should say it very clearly. Absolutely. Does this mean movement elsewhere?
We don't actually know if we're getting him, do we? It sounds like the deal with him is agreed, but Juventus want some money for him, which is a bit annoying.
It's a bit of a drawback.
They want a lot. We don't want to pay as much. Maybe we can strike a deal. Maybe this is how the transfer market works in January.
Meet in the middle. If he wants to come, and I think Juventus probably, are they going to miss out on Europe this year and all that kind of stuff because of this 15-point?
Although they missed Champions League, aren't they?
Yeah, so they could probably, there's probably a deal to be done. And he seems like his dad's right. He's a good player. I'm not going to contradict Mr. 69 on this, but he probably higher profile than Tyler Adams, maybe just because he's been around a bit more and he's moving to Juventus was a big move. Raised in Europe, I think he came over to Germany as a much younger player. So there is the whereas I've just gone off probably too hard on there being too much nepotistic Red Bull Corporation coming in Weston McKennie, although he is also American. It's kind of outside of all that. He's still within the US men's national team, US soccer problem is that everybody has been mates and went to college with each other 20 years ago and they're trying to get out of that, which could backfire a bit on poor old Jesse Marsh if they suddenly go like, no, we need to stop having people that we like and know. Poor fella, he ain't going to get the job. But he's been in Europe for a long time and kind of so apart from the
spent part of his childhood in Germany, didn't he? Because his dad is Air Force or similar. And that sort of maybe was part of the reason why he started out his early part of his career at Schalke, wasn't it? He started out.
Basically, he's not just another Red Bull clone, but it does seem like he would suit that style of football. But also, I think what we maybe hopefully are building in with players like him, if we get him, and Rutter, and Wilf and all the other good players that we have, they can probably do other things as well if there should ever come a day when we ask them to play a different way, perhaps for a different coach, should that ever come to pass. So,
well,
he's decent age, and he's about 25. So.
Yeah, and he was good. I mean, I can't pretend I've watched him much, but...
World Cup, he looked good, so we should sign him.
World Cup, he was good. That is, I won't pretend I know any more than World Cup, plus YouTube.
If he's a click replacement, sort of say, well, what, so 7 years younger and we're paying 15 times as much. So he's got to be better, hasn't he? So that's the maths on that, if you put those together and
I'm just going to work out your maths on that. I am curious.
Well, if he's 30 million, and we paid two for click?
The fees vary somewhere between.
Well, 15 times as much as click's fee would be 22.5 million, Moscow. So
but if we paid 2 million for him, what would 15 times 2 be?
30.
Well, that's the maths I was doing.
You're reverse engineering your maths. It was 1.5 million.
I'm going to make it difficult, am I?
Right, anyway. Does make you wonder if Jackie is going to move because his contract is ticking down and rumours of Leicester being interested and all that. Newcastle swinging their bits around, aren't they? Trying to buy people. James Maddison, all that sort of vibe.
They did want Jackie and now they've got him in summer. Now they're getting Maddison instead. So now Leicester might want Jackie.
Just keep him.
I'd rather keep. But I suppose if you were, in terms of balancing the squad, if you had to sell a wide player to get a central player, it does make a degree of sense given we've got a lot of wide players and not as many central ones.
What make room for Dan James coming back?
I was going to say, well, that's the other question, isn't it? If the old little scum bastard does. Because it was Ryan Taylor Sport who tweeted to say Fulham have currently filled Premier League loan quota, i.e. two, and can only complete the Cedric Suarez. Is that how we pronounce it?
Saws.
Yeah. Loan deal if they send Shane Duffy or Dan James back to Brighton or Leeds, respectively.
Mm.
And it looks like one of those is imminent.
Oh, good.
Or you could sign them permanently.
They could sign him permanently, and they may choose to. Or not. The only thing that slightly reassures me on this is that I looked at Shane Duffy, who I didn't truthfully even know was at Fulham. He's played even less. He comes on in the last minute to try and show up a win. Does Shane Duffy.
So I'm going to question you something now. This show, do you think we started fast? Always online?
Yes.
Have we stayed aggressive?
Not so sure.
Do you feel like we've operated with minimal width and it's been quite a vertical podcast?
Yes.
Go in, join in and swarm!
There's been a bit of shifting and pumping.
Definitely that, yeah.
We haven't prevented switches because we had to press some of those to make it work, didn't we?
Yeah. Although we can celebrate moments.
You know what you said before when you were correcting my maths?
Was it my clean sheet mentality?
It was great. Okay. I just wanted to put that in. We should celebrate.
Thank you.
That moment, I thought it was good. And Michael, the bit before when you did, I mean, you probably did something that was all right. I can't remember now.
Thanks. That means a lot.
Doubt it.
Means a lot.
No, Michael, I believe that you're going to do something really cool soon.
We are, of course, talking about that that poster or printout thing that was on the wall in the dressing room and possibly sending it up a little bit.
The keys to the game.
The keys to the game.
Keys to the game.
What are the keys to your heart?
I've got a little keyring that says Daniel on it. Someone gave me that years ago. It's a football player. And it really should have fallen to pieces by now, but it's you know when
made of asbestos or something.
It's technically rubber, but I think it's so old that it's just become like really it's like hardened. Like
Mother Shipton's cave,
calcified sort of plastic
vibe to it.
But that's
your sweaty pockets have made it into stone. Lovely stuff.
Everything that in the no, this I'm not going to do. leave that to John McKenney.
What was I going to say? Right. So that's Jesse's poster.
Is it a bit harsh, the treatment this has had? There's loads of this sort of bollocks, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. Of course it's harsh, but it's funny.
Every changing room will have this kind of rubbish up.
The main bit is the bit where it says minimal width. You think, oh.
It's all stuff we knew anyway, because we've seen them play this for months.
To see minimal width written down there just feels depressing.
But we've heard him say, like, every coaching seminar that he's given is all this kind of stuff. If there is some criticism of it, there's way too much on there.
Mm.
There's eight keys. And then some of those
It feels to me like key three. You're thinking of that one particularly, Moscow, the minimal width vertical counter press. That's three things in one.
Exactly. And then, you know, going joining the swarmers, then prevent switches. So there's a lot of things. If you're trying to break it down to simplify it, then I feel like eight is too many for these tiny-brained, big-footed footballers that we're dealing with.
What I do like best of all is point number eight, celebrate moments. That has got three exclamation marks, which is the most of any point on this sheet. So that, to me, feels like it's very important.
Celebrate moments like 4-0 home defeats.
Mm. I was thinking more like Rasmus enjoys it, doesn't he, when he puts a tackle in and it's successful and he gives it a little bit of a fist pump.
But now I see that that's kind of like a mandated instruction. I wonder if he means it.
Right.
Is he just like going through the motions where he's like...
So you've kind of got to go, yes!
He's like, oh, I'd better... Okay. Yay. Great tackle.
Enforced fun. It's like fancy dress parties, isn't it?
And we saw Jesse's fancy dress, didn't we, on Twitter the other week when he was celebrating his wife's birthday? Or was it an anniversary? I can't remember
It was her birthday.
Yeah. So that's good. So Jesse likes enforced fun.
What was he dressed as?
Was it like generic 70s sort of thing? He had a big tash, didn't he?
Like a 70s party.
Excellent. can think of nothing worse. Bielsa's not going to Everton anyway, so we don't have to deal with that.
That's a relief.
That is proper your ex hooking up with somebody that you know vibes, isn't it?
Mm.
We just need to let everybody move on.
I discounted it as soon as I heard it as a rumour. I was like, no, he's not going to go there.
Is that denial on your part?
No, it's just not very Bielsa-ish there, is it?
He's not stupid.
It's mid-season. They're a complete shit show. He won't have any money to even bring in players, even if he wanted to change the style. He wouldn't be able to do it.
Dan James for 30 million.
I mean, that would be our escape route for Dan James, wouldn't it? But
you can read between the lines on all of it as well, because it's the initial report even said that Mashiri, he's his first choice, but other people on the board aren't sure. And you're like, okay, well, so who wants the story about there being a split board out there? Who wants to be saying, well, I tried to get Bielsa, but the other people on the board wanted Sam Allardyce. And so there's been that angle all the way through, and then you've got that player who's decided to go to Tottenham instead of Everton.
Dan Juma.
And they're all up for sale. Mashiri's just gone, well, if I can't do what I want, I'm just going to sell the whole thing. And it's hilarious. And Bielsa, you know, whatever you want to say about him, the man is not an idiot, as if he would go to Everton.
He is still favourite, according to Sky Bet, but these markets can be quite manipulated. If someone just puts like £50 on, it'll panic them and they'll massively cut someone's odds. But to show what a shambles of recruitment process is as well, to go through the list from favourite down, it goes,
please,
Bielsa, Deitch, Hasenhüttl, Allardyce, Rooney, Ferguson.
It's just a complete mess, isn't it? I mean, that's
someone, please.
That's what's great of the stories from the board, where it's like they're trying to choose between Bielsa and Allardyce. It's like, if that's your choice, you don't know what you want, isn't it? It's absolutely ridiculous.
Rooney's my hope.
Yeah, get him away from Click.
Yes, get him away from Click, and I think he's probably the least qualified. Well, he is definitely the least qualified on that list.
Yeah. Well, how did it go when he followed Lampard at Derby?
When they
were in chaos? So well, they repeat that trick.
They had that year of survival, didn't they, when they all massively celebrated, then went down anyway. Mm.
You know what I'd like? Rooney and his player manager. I think he could still do a job. Get him into that midfield.
There you go. We've got scum two games in a week, potentially, if we don't get any FA Cup fourth round replay action. We're going to preview that in part two, aren't we, by the way? The Accrington Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
They have that in their Twitter bio. You know, say, we are aware we were in an advert once.
That's good. Save it. This is all hot chat because we've got nothing
else
to do.
All I know about
them. Yeah. So, yeah, scum two games in a week. That'd be fun, won't it?
Probably not.
Just get it all out of the way in one go.
It's what we said about Bielsa and we sacked him. That week of carnage.
Yeah.
It could be a tough week to survive if you're the manager, if old Chris Armas is there. Just living out of his suitcase still at this point. Yeah, maybe.
Do you want to move into don't move into an apartment.
Just stay at the hotel for a bit longer.
Yeah.
See how you get on.
Just enjoy it.
Surely you just stay at Jesse's. He'll have a spare room.
Yeah, he probably would actually.
Doesn't even have a work permit yet, so he might not make it in time. Imagine if his work permit comes through the day after the second game against Scum.
Just as we're making him redundant.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Part two of the show is the Accrington preview, made famous by a milk advert sometime when we were children.
From the days when you advertised milk. People think it wasn't even for a brand, it was just for the concept.
The milk board, wasn't it? Like the the general
milk marketing board,
yeah. Obviously led to the Buttercup.
Yes. So the Milk Cup, for anybody not aware or not old enough, is the what is now the Carabao Cup in this country.
That's how it's gone. It's gone from milk.
Well, that was the first sponsor of the League Cup, wasn't it?
Gone from milk to
Rumbelows, which was a hiring washing machines place and TVs. Who else have we had?
It veered towards unhealthy drinks at some point.
Yeah, Worthington.
Coca-Cola, Worthington's, Carling.
Yeah.
And now Carabao, which may or may not be healthy.
Yeah. We've got no opinion on that.
I've got no opinion.
Could you take a guess?
I give my kids a pint of it every night. Milk, not Carabao.
Yes, indeed. It is Accrington. They played Boreham Wood Tuesday night, and it was 0-0 for a very long time.
They really did drag this out.
There were like no shots on target during 90 minutes or something, was there?
It was
nobody wanted to lose.
Yeah, I mean, they should be tired. That's good. It's probably actually the best result from this game, is just that it went to extra time for them. And, you know, we should beat them anyway, shouldn't we?
Christ. Oh, God, yeah, I'm not in any way, shape or form worried about this. I am fully aware of what Leeds United have done against lower league opposition in the past. This doesn't feel like one of those. If it happens, fine. Bit of egg on my face. Don't feel like it. And that's not me being cocky about it. I'm not worried about it anymore.
I think we'll win, I have to say.
You sound a lot more unsure than than I.
It does have a look of a horrible Leeds United game about it, doesn't it? A little ground like Accrington.
Because Leeds are playing.
Yeah.
Generally.
It'd look bad, wouldn't it?
See Leeds on the fixture list.
Accrington, by the way, is a small town between Blackburn and Burnley. It's like a rose between two thorns, isn't it?
Is that a rose?
Is what, sorry?
Is Accrington a rose?
I don't know.
Compared to
the others, maybe.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
No, I suppose
that's what the phrase a rose between two thorns means.
I think Michael's point is that this is basically three thorns.
I'm questioning whether or not Accrington counts as a rose.
Feels very disparaging. Have you been to Accrington?
Yes.
What's it like?
It was fine. I played football there.
Good.
It was all right.
For Stanley?
No.
Was it a trial?
Against Stanley?
Against an Accrington Stanley supporters team.
Right.
Is what it was, actually.
Okay.
I think they won.
So the Wham Stadium, which is exciting. Everyone's enjoyed that and leapt on the with the George Michael and Andrew Ridgely puns, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. And yet, lots of people seem to be missing out that the goalkeeper is called Saving.
Is that right? That's nominative determinism.
He doesn't have a G at the end, so I gave him a G. It's an apostrophe. Well, there's nothing. His name's Savin. But Saving. Toby Savin.
The Crown Ground.
So we're going to struggle to get shots past him because he'll be Toby Saving them.
Saving them, yeah.
Right, so the Wham Stadium is better known as the Crown Ground.
We should probably try lots of crosses, though, because his name's not catching.
Mm. It's named after the Netflix series. I think the sponsorship deal with the Crown must have ended.
Yeah, probably all the paints.
Mm. The ground is going to the Wham Stadium. £200,000 sponsorship deal with Whatmore UK.
It's the chairman's
Limited.
Company. Andy Holtz, the chairman.
It was previously also named the Fraser Eagle Stadium and the Interlink Express Stadium. So they're quite happy to tart off the name of their ground. Record attendance, 4,801. Will we beat that? That's exciting. Who knows? It holds 5,500 as the ground now. Should be a record attendance. Of course it will.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be sold out, won't it? It depends what they maybe have to leave for segregation.
They were selling tickets straight after the game.
Oh, hang on. It was bettered by 5,257 for a league match against Sunderland in 2018. Please. But the match was abandoned due to a waterlogged pitch. And then FA Cup fourth round, 5,397 was set 3 years ago when Derby County visited. So let's beat that. Leeds take more.
They've had a big problem getting crowds in for music events. It's been their latest shock. Andy Holt, their owner, chairman, who used to be quite notable on Twitter because he used to like publish the accounts for like...
He was very forthright, wasn't he, and honest?
Yeah, he'd do show match day takings and expenditure for like a particular game and stuff. But the council have issued noise abatements to stop them from putting on
80s hits.
Well, yeah, they can't put on gigs at the Wham. Well, it's the Coley's Bar. They're not allowed to put them on. So he's returned his freedom of the town of Hindburn, or the borough. Freedom of the borough. They gave him a medallion.
Geordie medallion.
They specifically gave it to him in a Geordie accent.
I thought it was South African.
They gave him a medallion and a citation. Because I think it's because Hindburn sounds like it should be. No. Hindburn sounds like it should be in the northeast. Are you kidding? When we go up to Hindburn,
yep.
This the coal mine's closing, and they're going to build some ships.
Spooky.
Hey, why Spooky, man? Let's go up to Hindburn. See what Jeff says.
Hi to our American listeners and viewers, by the way.
But he's given all that back.
Who have no clue what's going on.
And as well, all
making
of these
niche references to 1980s and 90s children's TV programs in England.
And by American standards, well, all these places are within about an hour and a half drive. It's strange the way accents work.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, he said that Hindburn Council, they've had a hidden agenda all along to stop the club from developing, including a noise officer snooping around the car back as far back as May, recording music from Coley's on his phone. I'm playing it to us 7 months later, post-abatement order being served. So there's a big Facebook argument about all this. That's what's going on. So be quiet.
Okay.
Ellen Road. That game on Saturday, be quiet.
Stadium. I'm just getting some directions from Ellen Road Football Stadium.
You're going to walk it?
No, I'm going to see if it's worth Leeds flying. As Michael
proposed. Yeah, we were talking about flying to Boreham Wood, weren't we? Going to the old the studios there. What was it called?
Elstree.
So you can do it in an hour and 5 minutes from Ellen Road if you do the motorways and then up the M66 via Bury and up into Accrington that way. Although the more scenic route will be to go via Bradford and sort of dip your toes in, sort of Skipton that way.
Is there a button that you can press to fly?
No, there's a car symbol. There's a person walking. Should we see how long it'd be to walk?
Yeah.
Walking.
Two days.
It does recommend going over the tops. Yeah. It says 13 and a half hours.
That's nothing. That's not stopping though. That's probably going to be tough.
We could do that. We did that on our charity walk, basically.
Yeah, but we didn't stop.
It's only 38 miles.
Mm. Have you got to get away from directions for a moment? Do either of you have fond memories of us playing Accrington before?
I've got fond memories of Brady kicking a player around the neck.
That was
glorious,
very good.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
And they were managed at that time. Who was their manager for that match? There's a quiz for you.
Ooh.
New Accrington.
Mm. It was a League Cup game, wasn't it? And it was Berardi's debut. I think it was Zan Benedicic's debut.
Mm.
But Accrington were managed by someone with a Leeds connection. Although I'll give you a clue since you're obviously struggling. He didn't have that Leeds connection at the time.
Steve Evans.
No. Even Accrington haven't sung that role.
James Beattie.
There we go. James Beattie.
Oh, excellent.
Who became, he was...
Gary Monk's.
Was he
friend.
Gary Monk's assistant? His mate, wasn't he? But he got he basically
was his assistant, wasn't he? But I think he was like the striker.
He taught Chris Wood how to score.
Yes, and there was obviously the previous game. We only played Accrington twice, so there's not a lot to fall back on. Mm. We beat him in the.
And you know who
the JPT?
You'll have it there, won't you? But you know who scored their first goal for Leeds in that game?
Hogan Ephraim.
There we go.
Just looking, the Crown Pub might have lent its name to the stadium, the Crown Ground, in much the way that the old Peacock lent its name to the Peacock Ground and all that. Well. As it is now, Ellen Road.
Accrington Stanley are named after a working men's club, aren't they? The Stanley Working Men's Club was the origin of that. So there you go.
And seems to be a tattoo parlour that's popped up on Apple Maps as well. Pilkington, it's called.
Okay.
I'm still going to look, see what else is near the ground.
Scott.com, I've got information on them.
If you want to have
this is quite good because the problem with Accrington, normally you see it's Premier League ignorance. We don't pay a lot of attention to lower league teams because we are horrible. People.
We're dreadful Premier League wankers now.
Yeah. But usually you can look through a squad and you go, oh, yeah, he plays for them. Mm. This lot, I'd never heard of any of them. So it's a bit unfortunate. I think is there still time? The transfer window's open if they're not cup tied.
Mm.
Sign some players we've heard of.
They've got Nathan Delfonso in the squad. Do you remember
him? Well, I've totally missed him. Yes. Aston Villa.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to play. I don't know if he's injured at the moment, but he didn't play for them in their last game. But yeah, he played for us for Blackpool. And
oh, he played for
Burnley
us as well, didn't he?
Hmm?
He played for us?
No, against us, sorry. Played against us.
I was going to say, it was
against us.
Remember that.
Yeah. Burnley, Blackpool, some other Pete teams.
It's amazing. That whole era of Leeds, all you had to do was make an innocent mistake and say, yes, Nelson Delfonso.
And you went, oh, yeah.
Is it Delfonesco?
I think it's pronounced Delfonso. It's Delfunesso is how it looks.
You say, Nathan Delfonso played for us. I'm like, Yeah, he probably did, didn't he?
He came in on trial for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
at the
who
very
else
least.
Wouldn't he have...
played alongside Malcolm Christie.
Because I was going to say before, and it completely passed me by on the other show, that Weston McKennie coming in finishes what Curtis Weston started.
Mm.
So we waited a long time for that to be complete. Anyway, Accrington, so they've got Nathan Delfonso, but they're not playing him, and they their strengths are creating long shot opportunities, shooting from direct free kicks, coming back from losing positions, defending set pieces and saving.
And saving, yeah, you've added that
they're
one.
They're good at saving.
I've just realised for the last 5 minutes I've just been looking at a map of Accrington rather than doing the show.
They are weak at finishing scoring chances, avoiding offside, aerial duels, defending against long shots. get click back. And against defend, they're very weak at defending against counterattacks. So we're going to have an absolute field day. They like their style of play is attacking through the middle.
It's going to be a real battle.
Taking long shots, long balls, taking a lot of shots. They have a consistent first 11 and they're aggressive and opponents play aggressively against them. It's going to be a right old scrap, this, isn't it?
It's going to be just a big scrum.
Saturday lunchtime on the BBC in the cold and the wind and the rain of Lancashire.
I predict we're going to win this one because Willie Nonto at some point will realise it's going to benefit him to just stand a bit to one side. And he'll run into acres of space, be like,
"So bloody hell, look at all
this space.
Could
have done this sooner."
Yeah.
Yeah, their formation last night was 3-1-4-2. Just bold. 3-1-4-2.
Do we have a name for that?
3-1-4-2.
Yeah.
That's what I call it.
It's like a little mushroom, isn't it?
I've not stuck to proper tactics wonk etiquette. Sorry, it's 1-3-1-4-2. You've got to include the goalkeeper if you're a real...
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. You can always tell if somebody spends far too long looking at tactics blogs as they include the goalkeeper in the formation.
When we start
talking...
One of the
most painful things, especially online, because on Twitter... There's a character limit, and there's people waste two characters putting in a one and a dash just to prove that, the goalkeeper, obviously, yes.
I've never known the goalkeeper playing anything but a one.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe that's the next innovation. Maybe somebody out there has got a spreadsheet where it's like, oh, yeah, if you have three goalkeepers, then your expected goals against reduces.
The thing with this is, right, whenever we start talking about formations, it just reminds me of Rhodey's doing a sound check.
3-1-4-2.
That is literally all I've got about formations. So
they contain multitudes. Nottingham, that's a multitude, isn't it? Town.
Hey, Michael. Accrington Stanley, just looking at their league form, they've scored 24 goals, 25 points. It works.
Got a musical in midfield, Hamilton.
Previously, you've told us this is only Premier League, so now you're reverse engineering it because you found something that fits your shitty.
And they're just behind
little method.
Mark Jackson's pretend team. That somehow have been allowed into the league, not sure about that. They've scored 25 points.
They've got Lee playing up front as well, which is another town in Lancashire.
They've got Nottingham at the back, is that right as well?
That's right, yeah.
Already said that.
Yeah. But I was gazing at the map of Accrington probably when you said that, trying to find landmarks.
Owen Coyle in midfield with Brendan Rodgers on the wing, a couple of managers bringing some nails to midfield.
And Alexander Hamilton, one of the founding fathers there.
Yeah, musical, to which I also recently referred.
Dan really wasn't listening for a large section of this.
On Disney Plus, if you want to watch that. Thanks for preempting all my jokes and making me look foolish, Bosco.
McConville, which I think is where Chris Armas comes from. Sounds like it, doesn't it? Where's he from? Oh, he's from McConville.
An American's played against Accrington before for Leeds.
Grella.
Mike Grella.
Yes. Get him on co-coms.
Did anybody say the Rick Astley joke?
I think that was done right at the start, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Goes along with Wham and the 80s stuff. So,
right.
Oh, bless them. I'm sorry to anybody from Accrington who's tuned in to like, oh, I wonder what they're saying about us. But, I mean, the game was last night. We did a lot, like, my research on Boreham Wood is, I've got PowerPoint after PowerPoint. Mm.
You could do a Bielsa-style presentation for hours for the media.
That was one of the fascinating parts of the Derby breakdown when he did that, was when there was photographs of just all those black hardback books on the shelf. I always wanted to get hold of them, but that's me on Boreham Wood. And all of them specify that they will have a goalkeeper, like all the formations that they use, goalkeeper. So I did it proper. But all of that had to go in the bin because Accrington won, so they've only got themselves to blame.
From memory, how it is. Can you tell me a single player who plays for Boreham Wood? Having done all the research.
Do
you want first names or surnames?
You can have a go at a surname. I'll give you a go at a surname.
Jackson.
Smith plays for them.
I can't see a Jackson or a Smith, I'm afraid. Dan's now typing, which makes me very suspicious.
Yeah, my hands are where you can see them. There's,
I am cheating. I'm very much cheating. Yeah.
Jonesy. I remember Jonesy really stood out in the research.
Jonesy. You might be thinking of Joshy.
Yes.
Joshy Rees.
That was Joshy Rees. Old Reezy.
Reezy, yeah.
Yeah.
They do have Leon Lovu, or Undlove, as it was pronounced at the time. I'm gonna assume he's some relative.
It's annoying because I did actually, I did do some.
Hey, they've got.
I did glance at their team, and he stuck out that they hadn't.
They've got Danny Newton, Danny Elliott, and then Denon Lewis. Imagine trying to address them all in the dressing room: Danny, Denny, Dunnan.
The three Ds.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a defender called Ricketts.
They signed them because they thought they could add a new dimension to the game.
And the delightfully named Chris Bush as well. But we're not playing them, are we?
No.
No. Let's just beat Accrington.
And I think we will. I think the thing of, obviously, there's the Leeds asterisk applies that Sutton, Newport, all the things, all the games. But we saw against Cardiff that weekend, like, we were great in the second match against them. So we know from the first game, recent lessons, JB and Greenwood doth not a midfield make.
No.
So play
Weston McKennie.
Yeah.
And his dad.
Play Tyler Adams and play, and you could probably get away with Greenwood alongside him if you want to give Rocket a rest, that'll be fine. Play Tyler Adams, basically, seems to be the big difference. Tyler Adams, Max Ferber, Rutter, probably going to be making his debut.
That's the exciting thing. We've not even mentioned that. Bloody hell. Aren't we shit?
And we've got, and that should be enough. Start strong and then take them off instead of
starting weak and chasing the game.
Yeah. And I think there was enough in the Cardiff game to make me think this should not be a problem. They're tired. They played 90 minutes midweek. 120 minutes midweek. They've only got a couple of days to prepare. All the stuff. Don't know how training will have been for them before that game on frozen pitch and all that kind of stuff. So it's all set up for us to obviously lose, but I think the fifth round is there for us to be in.
Is it worth us playing for a draw?
So we don't have to play Scum.
So we don't have to play Scum twice in a week, and we could play Accrington back at Elland Road.
Scum, well, no, Accrington at Elland Road is going to be... Scum draw with Reading.
It's become hard to get tickets at Elland Road as well, though. So if we get an extra game, give people more of a chance.
Yeah. So we should play for a draw.
Even if we go 3-0 up.
Yeah, start letting them in.
Just absolutely throw it at the end. Play without a goalkeeper, maybe. We were saying about the formation numbers.
Mm.
Maybe go for a 0-0.
Dispense with the one at the back.
1-9 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, Reading, their most recent result was a 4-0 defeat to Stoke City. Before that, they drew 2-2 with QPR after Tyler Roberts scored twice to bring it back from 2-0 down. At least one of those goals was really good, by the way. Just a little bit of Tyler love. They've got, who's in their team? Tom Ince against his dad's old club. Andy Yiadom is the captain. Of course he is. That's great. And Alex Neil in charge. Aidan Flint on the bench, who, I'm sure, didn't he move like 300 million at one point?
It was quite a bit, yeah.
And then there's DiMaggio Wright Phillips, who I think he's the player who I like least in the league.
Why?
If he is who I'm thinking of. Well, isn't he Ian Wright's like great grandson or something?
Oh, just because he makes you feel old.
Yeah, it's like I can handle the like Tom Ince, Paul Ince's son, fine. When it's grandchildren.
Sorry, what? No, that can't be right.
I believe DiMaggio Wright Phillips, I think, is either Bradley or Sean's son, so it's.
Yeah, you might be telling me the truth, but I'm still not having it.
Yeah, it's not on, is it? But is there enough in that... the other thing that I've done there is I've looked at the Stoke City team.
You know,
when it's Reading who are... Oh, no, that is Reading. Right. No,
it's... I think, Michael, please, we need to stage an intervention before Moscow makes this worse.
It's a combination. I've got confused.
It's not his grandson. He doesn't play for Reading. But apart from that, it's is perfect information.
Tom Ince and Andy Yiadom are...
They've had a baby.
They are in...
And now he's playing for Reading.
They are in Reading's first team. However, Aidan Flint and DiMaggio Wright Phillips are on the bench for Stoke.
Right.
As is Frank Fielding.
And who's Ian Wright put a baby in?
And then Reading are managed by Paul Ince.
Yeah.
Which is why Tom Ince is playing for them.
Yeah.
They have Scott Dann on the bench, along with Shane Long. They've got Junior Hoylett in the team as well. So
why are you telling me this?
Because they've got enough in the team to draw with Scum, so we don't have to play them twice in a week.
That's what it was getting at, yeah.
That's what I was getting at. You know, I got a little bit confused by...
What's just to the west of Accrington, don't you? The brilliantly named Oswald Twistle.
Mm.
I like that as a name.
You know who's captaining Stoke? You should.
It's Lewis Baker, isn't it?
Because you've just looked.
No, I haven't, I promise, I swear.
Yeah, I see that.
Look.
Yeah. It's a big picture of Lewis Baker.
He's got a little
with
more
a captain's armband on and a Stoke City shirt.
What's in Little Moor End? I can see you looking at that on your map.
Little Moor End.
Let's move on, because this is this needs to end. Frankly.
Here in Yorkshire, we don't like waste. So with energy consumption front of mind these days, there's a lot of focus on conserving it and minimising waste. Boxed have loads of great advice on their website about how to use your heating system as efficiently as possible to help keep your energy bills down, should you leave your heating on all the time or switch it on and off as needed. Boxed will help you answer that question and plenty more and save you plenty of cash in the long run too. You could save up to £1,150 a year by upgrading to a new, more efficient boiler and using a Google Nest Learning Thermostat. Boxed, take away the hassle of upgrading your boiler to a brand new A-rated one. The process starts on the website. Couldn't be easier. Installation is carried out by an expert, qualified installer and is included in the price. 0% finance is available, subject to status. Boxed will give you a fixed, fair price in just 90 seconds. And as a listener to this show, you can save an additional £50 on your online quote by using the code TSB50. So just head to boxed.co.uk, that's boxt.co.uk, and use that code TSB50 to upgrade your boiler and save money now. Part three of the show is Heroes and Villains, where we have a little rifle through the people who've done good and bad by us over the last 7 days for and against Leeds United Football Club. First of all, Ken Bates, Villain of the Week Award. We've got people in the Leeds corner, Jesse, Brendan. In the opposition corner, Ivan, Tony, Brentford, Thomas Frank. Others, quite a few, any other businesses. We've got Peter Banks, who's the referee from Mary Poppins. Us, East Stand Child, Everton Board. Go on then, pick it apart.
Let's start with us. It's fair enough, I think. Raising hopes by getting giddy over the Cardiff win. Predicting things like 4-3, 5-3.
Sorry for having some joy in my life.
Me, normally reliable and miserable. I think I said it definitely won't be 0-0. And it was, of course, 0-0.
Yeah.
So don't have hopes. What's happened to you? I feel like you've dropped your relentlessly positive persona.
It's hard work, mate.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I don't like that.
So how are you feeling now then?
I don't feel particularly anxious because I refuse to let Leeds United ruin my life anymore.
Okay.
I just look back at like the relegation battle last season. It wasn't good for my health. I look back even on the promotion seasons we were talking about on one of the other shows this week. Not good for my health. You need to look after yourself, don't you?
I suppose so.
That's why Jesse can't win the villain this week. I think he's going to be a regular nomination between now and us staying up. And then he'll go away and then he'll be fine.
But and Brendan Aaronson as well. Poor thing. He's just a mere boy child. He just needs a little rest, that's all.
Sherry and eggs. Mostly the sherry,
He just needs to go find himself again, doesn't he? That's all. And he might have a new friend with him soon to G him along, so that'd be nice.
Yes, who kept him out of the USA team, so that can happen again.
Ivan Tony gets a nomination for nothing really specific here. It's Yankee Doodle Batley.
Oh, he had a right old moan at the right. He should have been sent off for kicking the ball away. So that's
not his fault, though, is it? I mean, players do get a bit narky in the heat of battle, but surely that's the ref's fault.
Well, he's nominated too for Wedge. Points out that the time wasting needed to stop. And he didn't add enough time on. Wedge proposes 25 minutes, which maybe seems a little high, but was probably closer to accurate than, what was it, 5 that we got? Which wasn't enough. West Ham Ralph rightly points out, as Rob has pointed out on the blog, that he's the ref, not a fucking player. So between him and Ivan Tony, there seems to be some kind of... Well, I can't accuse them of anything, can I?
No, I wouldn't.
Let's say they all erred.
For me, I want to nominate Peter Banks as the clear frontrunner for this, because he got involved in the game, shouldn't have done too much. But before we discuss it, let's just do East Stand Child and the Everton board. Everton board, obviously, Zach, not happy because they've sacked Frank.
I suspect that Michael will probably go in hard on the East Stand Child.
Yeah, this is not me who's put this on. This is Jesse Blank Whiteboard has sent this in. He said,
definitely
the child,
not you with the pseudonym.
The child sat behind me. I thought everyone should hear his expert opinion on the whole match about how bad every player is. God forbid he close his mouth and open his eyes in case he learnt something that can't be found on the player's FIFA card. Reminder of why I hate the East Stand.
There was a kid sat behind me in the East Stand who, was it the League Cup game? I think it might have been. And it was, what, you know, when we do the goal kicks, it's, you shit bastard. And it's just sort of quieting down afterwards. He went, Dad, what are they saying there? We knew that, you shit, you know, like, he didn't know what it was. And we all just kind of turned around and laughed and thought, good luck with that one.
Someone on the Phil from the Leeds forum from years ago just said, he told his son that we were singing, "We Are Leeds, We Are Vile, David Jones is a Crocodile."
Yeah, which is what it was. It was, wasn't it?
Which I always liked as a song.
It was.
For the Everton board, it's Zach of Oz. I think he's got a good point that getting rid of Frank is a risk from our point of view, because they've kind of, one, there's the risk of them making a good appointment, but it seems like they're not going to, because they're just going to sell the club instead. And then secondly, that it was fun. It was great watching them just week after week turning in nonsense performances and Frank Lampard refusing to take any responsibility for it. And then all his mates... going on Twitter and saying what a great job he was doing. I was quite enjoying that cycle aggravating as it was kind of like, it was very self-contained. Now that he's been sacked, all those people like Matt Law are like, it's like a Catherine wheel firing now, instead of it all being contained within them, where it's all just like
an exploding human centipede, maybe.
Yeah, or just like, it was just like one circle jerk. Now it's like that's spraying everywhere, and we all have to hear it because it's all like, because
it's landing on us, isn't it?
Instead of it all being focused on Everton, we all have to hear what a great job Frank did. So it was much easier when he was just in a job, and it could all just like happen there.
Is there a chance if Rooney goes there, that continues?
Probably. I mean,
I suppose Rooney's not—he's not got the kind of—he's not the same education as Frank, though. Because I think that was where Frank was unique in that he was a Premier League England international.
You could really see the benefit of his upbringing when he was singing those songs about 9/11 to the American tourists in that hotel. You could really see there what a fine young man he was from the start.
Which was only days afterwards, we should say, like in the day or two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was
a very sensitive response.
All the things that he learnt at school from that very expensive education.
The shitting in the dressing room is maybe sort of hijinks, though.
Mm, yeah, and the sex video with
Rio Ferdinand
and Cole, that was good as well.
Have you ever shit in a dressing room?
Coerced into that.
You ever shit in a dressing room? You got into, I don't know, British Home Stars or something?
No,
taking a shit.
Nah, no, not my thing.
Not really.
Nah, fine for me.
That's good.
I think there's the risk as well. What if he becomes a pundit?
He will
alongside.
And he'll talk with great authority about stuff as well. And anyone who had the misfortune to watch one of his teams will have to go.
Yeah, BT Sport, well, Jake Humphrey, Frank Lampard.
As
we were saying on the High Performance podcast this week, that, they just didn't have the right mentality at Everton, did they?
Jake Humphrey, what an unbearable twat.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Right, Peter Banks, he's having it for me. What about you?
I suppose, yeah, I mean, there are nominations. There's a nomination for what do you call him, Thomas Frank as well.
Yeah, it's his gum. Philip nominates his gum chewing golf. I feel like Peter Banks's head is like a manifestation of Thomas Frank's. Like if you took the chewing gum out of his mouth, it would look like Peter Banks.
And that's reason to give it to Banks, I think.
Yeah. Banks. Thomas Frank's always like that. I suppose, to be fair, Peter Banks is always like that. I've never noticed him having so many touches before.
Right, on to the Catano Berardi Hero of the Week Award.
Somebody who could touch all he wants.
Max Verber was our TSB Plus members player of the match for this. Some high scores in this game, actually. We haven't had many over seven, actually, on all the back four. Is it one at the back we play? Sorry, the keeper?
The one, poor old Ilian, only got 6.73 out of 10. Seven.
That was because he didn't have anything to do. It's not his fault.
Verber, the price of being a goalkeeper.
Verber, 8.39, and his new sidekick, Cock, 7.38, Tyler Adams just behind that, Luke Ayling, and then it sort of dropped off below seven, down towards low scores of about five.
Wilf Nyonto with a mere 6.84. He's to buck his ideas up, doesn't he?
But he is still in line for player of the year. He's played 10 games now, so a season average of 7.6. So we'll track that over the course of the season. I am making a unilateral decision. Like the trophies that we've got here, we can afford to get one of those made up for Wilf Nyonto if he wins it.
Okay.
And if Tyler Adams wins?
Yeah, we'll get one for him as well.
Okay. Because it sounds like a lot like you're trying to fix this as well.
I mean, I'm not. I'm just saying we should definitely do a trophy because I think it'd be
the
lovely.
Willy Nyonto Player of the Year trophy.
I genuinely believe if Willy Nyonto, I mean, whoever wins it, would be pleased.
Whoever wins it, but it is a bronze cast model of Willy Nyonto.
Yeah. I think Willy Nyonto would just be such a great recipient of it. I think most
the Willy Nyonto of the Year award.
Yeah, exactly. Well done. You've won it again. Right, candidates for Hero of the Week.
Basically, just Verber. He was more or less the only person nominated.
Should we just give it to him then?
I mean, it's kind of an easy thing to do. Scrooge, I think, gets a mention for because he nominates him because he looks like he'd be a good neighbour.
He really does, like really reliable.
100% would offer the top of my head just because he's doing his side anyway and would tell off bastard kids loitering about. Reliable, strong, friendly and dependable.
Yeah. Like if you needed a set of jump leads because your car wouldn't start, he'd be out before you even knocked on his door.
Yeah. We're going away for a week and he goes, bins, no problem. You wouldn't even need to finish the sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a problem. I know what I'm doing. There's some extra boxes that are folded. Yes, fine, I'll put them out.
I'll break them down. I'll put them into my bin, don't you worry.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, I love him.
Do you need your plants doing? While you're away, I can pop round.
What, the marijuana farm in the loft?
Bless him. No, he wouldn't be involved in that.
I enjoyed Dickie Wood, perhaps, says where we are at with our levels. We said strong at the back and even attacked a bit. It's what we'd want if it's just even attacked a bit. That's good.
But Dickie does add the Leeds United caveat of he'll be wondering what he's let himself in for, though.
Yeah, and Andy from Salford makes a similar point where he says Max Verber is the new Richard Naylor. brought in to steady a leaky ship and instantly organises the defence brilliantly, which is good because I've heard, and it's right, obviously Verba, he's played one game from start to finish and been compared to Marisa Lucas. Obviously started well. Lawrence Dibok looked like the left-back solution in his first match. Who else has been
started? Andy O'Brien.
Andy O'Brien started well, went off, all those. But there are also examples of the other way. Of Richard Naylor, who came in, immediately looked good. Pontus Janssen came in, immediately looked a step above everybody else. Even from the Richard Naylor season, Sam Sodji came in and did a great job for the rest of the season. Paddy Cisnorbo probably as well made an impact straight away, where you can just... You just look at a player.
A steady hand on the tiller.
They just fill you with confidence from the start, which, yeah, obviously we've been burnt by the likes of Zaliukas and Dibok. But even Marius had a few good games before. It's only Hillsborough where he really went on a mad one and then was never the same. But every reason to hope that he's going to keep it up.
We should say Christopher Lane got in touch, our CD Lane. Thank you, Christopher, saying... Ask the German at work. It's definitely Vuba.
Okay.
Vuba.
Max Vuba.
Although Max is Austrian.
Well, what does that mean?
Different.
Do they not speak Austrian in Austria?
But this a German was consulted.
Yes. I believe, and I was just sending myself up there, but I believe they do speak a bit of German in Austria.
But with a different accent.
Okay.
Because we were discussing on the other one about the differences between Hinbin.
Between what?
Hindburn,
hey.
And Hindburn.
Well, it's like in England, we say Ren, don't we? Whereas in France, obviously, we know they say, oh.
It's like if you wanted to know how Michael Normanton's pronounced, well, how do I pronounce this English name, Michael Normanton, and you asked Phil Hay, you're going to get it, you're going to get the wrong answer. So I'm not having...
Oh!
Yeah. Oh, it's Michael Normanton. I don't know why, because Phil Hay speaks backwards now, like... It was him. People don't know this, but Phil Hay was on that Missy Elliott record.
Probably.
He did that bit.
I've got one of those pronunciation websites up. Do you want me to play out what it should sound like?
Maximilian Vuba.
Vuba.
That's a little bit cross. That's a bit Vuba. Vuba.
Put in your name, see what it says.
No. I'm not going to do that.
No?
Just plugging my laptop in so I can play it out of the...
Oh, the listeners can hear.
So you can hear as well, listening. Have a listen.
Maximilian Vuba.
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 Maximilian Vuba.
Vuba.
Vuba. Just call him Max.
Yeah.
I'd do. And he's worth a million, isn't he?
And we congratulate him on being our Kitana Brada Hero of the Week for this week. 80% of the nominations or thereabouts that we got in were for Vuba.
Yeah, they pretty much all were.
And I'm just trying
to work out how to say my own name here. Sorry. There you go. Just checking out to do my own name. I'll tell it. I can teach the kids this when I get home. It's useful.
Let's have a look. I know you.
Do they not want to know? Do they use their real dad's name so far?
Let's have a look.
Moylan.
There you go.
Daft.
There was a nomination for Tyler Adams as well. He's just always good, isn't he? It's boring. Stop just being good every week.
No, I'd like
stop being efficient.
I'd like him to continue being good because
I would as well.
As we saw away to Cardiff.
It's a shit show without him, isn't it? It's because you're beside him, Weston. I don't think he's exactly the same position, is he? But he can do some running about in midfield stuff.
Yeah, he's a bit more of an attacker, but it seems like he's good. So it's all right, isn't it, if we have some good midfielders?
Absolutely. Bang up for that. Bang up for it. Right, there you go. That wraps up the weekly show for this time. If you've only watched a third of it, there are three thirds, much like any good football match.
The Accrington preview. Yeah.
Yeah, it was sort of your classic shit sandwich was this show, wasn't it, really? The Accrington preview, where we sort of gazed at maps and...
It was a bit of a mixed bag, was the Accrington preview, I think.
Learned a lot about Stoke City and their bench.
And the Wright family.
So let's quickly review then, just before we sign off. Fast starts, always online. Yep.
Yep.
Stay aggressive, minimal width, vertical, counter press.
Mean just staying aggressive.
Stay aggressive.
There's quite a lot of shifting, pumping and defending forward from in that middle section, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely some pumping.
Which is more important, shifting or pumping?
They're given equal weighting at point number five in the keys to the game.
Do you have to do one before you do the other?
Just celebrate moments!
Hey.
Clean sheet mentality is there. The clean sheets are not necessarily there. But the mentality is
there. As long as they're thinking about it.
I think that's on the list just to make Ilan Meslier furious. I think of nothing but clean sheets. This is all I have on my brain. But then you put Diego Llorente in front of me. I don't know why. Not.
I wonder, he's mates with the Ruter, isn't he? I wonder what they've been up to this week, hanging about together.
Taking him to, well, they're going to be the Penguins.
Harewood.
Are going to be leaving Harewood soon.
Yeah.
Because they're closing.
It's a Penguinarium, I believe it's called.
The bird bits are all getting closed. So maybe they're going to see those before they're done away with. Right. No, they're going to be done away with and they'll be rehomed.
Just before put into a grinder. Yes, lob them all in. How's your peacock?
But that'd be a nice entry. If you moved to a new place, a new job in a new country, and you met an old friend who took you to see some flamingos.
Mm. There's penguins at Lullerton Hall as well, if anyone's desperate to see penguins and devastated by the closure of that.
Because it's one of those nice surprises, because if you move to Yorkshire, the first thing you anticipate is not, see loads of penguins.
Mate, we've got fucking polar bears and lions in that wildlife park down near Doncaster.
Doncaster don't count.
Probably disappointed by the bear pit on near your house, Moscow.
On Cardigan Road?
Cardigan Road,
It is still there. No bears, though.
No bears.
Yeah, the zoological gardens never really took off, much like the hot air balloons. That's one of the big things. They kept trying to have a grand hot air balloon launch, but they just kept toppling to the ground, so it never really took off. But yeah, that whole area.
Which again brings us back to Hindenburg, which I mentioned earlier on in the show.
But it never got quite that bad.
No.
The humanity.
We're doing it again. Let's stop. Thank you for watching and listening. We'll be back with, what's the guide to this week? We're doing a guide to, which should be out before this, actually. Bears in Leeds. Look out for that. That'll be out before this. No,
it's about us losing to Sutton.
Oh, the pie one.
Celebrating another fourth round game.
Celebrating moments.
That's what we're just celebrating, moments.
And look out for the match ball at the weekend as well, after the FA Cup game. Phil Hayshaw to come as well. Just look out for it all. We'll see you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.